Says we're live.
Is it Memorex?
Or is it Memorex? You guys remember that old commercial?
Oh.
Is it live or Memorex? I don't know if you can see where we're sitting at. We've been here before on doing Brown Bag.
Barry, what happened there literally 30 years ago?
I got baptized there.
Right there.
Right there in that building.
30 years ago in June, wasn't it?
Yep.
I knew it. I thought it was June.
30 years coming up. Hey, Kathy says hey.
Hey, Kathy.
What's up, Kathy? Beautiful day out, isn't it?
I knew a guy that was so excited. He got baptized. Came out of this parking lot. And there were a lot of people here. You know, because during baptisms, of course, you want to share with people.
Right.
He's flying around and everybody's honking and waving at him. And he thought, he was like, yeah, praise God. They're going, no, dummy, your Bible's on top of your car.
It was pretty funny.
Right over here.
Yeah, that was a spiritual high.
Did it fall off or did they just...
No, they kept honking at me, so I was waving at everybody. I go, man, I felt like a rock star. No, your Bible's on top of your car, you dummy.
It's kind of like when you're walking through the park and everybody's looking at you and smiling and you realize your zipper's down kind of thing, Barry. You know? Like, wow, that was awkward.
Well, so. I can't. Well, you're right. I can't see those icons on
you
there.
You can't tell.
I can't tell who they are.
You can't tell.
Hello, everybody that's watching.
It's really hard to see, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
I hope the street sweeper comes and just hangs around here. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Here he comes. Street sweeper. We're sitting in the shade in the parking lot. Hey, Lisa.
Is that Lisa Gagliotti?
Yep.
What's up, Lisa?
Lisa Gagliotti.
How are you guys? We actually tried today to flip the camera around because I'm realizing that my camera, when it faces the other way, is terrible. It's like a big cloud over the top of it. So we thought we'd try this. Does the picture quality look any better today? If we get a thumbs up there, that means the picture quality is indeed
a little better.
Yeah. How many we got on?
Five.
Five.
Martin Wexler.
What's up, Marty?
No, it's Mark Weber.
Marty Weber? So we know a Martin Wexler and a Martin Weber.
Yeah.
How about that?
Kathy says no on the quality.
The quality's no good?
Right.
Thanks a lot, Coolmeyer. Too bad, you're stuck with it. I'm going to go ahead and get started, Barry. You know, I talk about my dad a lot.
Let me move around here, get a better angle.
Because my father, my dad, could literally fix just about anything, right? He could take things that are broken that you would never think there'd be any chance of putting them back together and actually could put them together and actually would work again, right? So my dad had these old tractors, these little lawn sprinkler tractors. You put them on a hose and it tracks with the water hose and waters your yard. Well, when my dad died in 2012, of course, I got the sprinklers because I loved them, right? And I had a Nelson, a yellow one, and the yellow one's really old school, and it hasn't worked in probably 35 years. My dad couldn't fix it, which is unusual, because I felt my dad could fix anything. So the other day, Lynn and I were on the back porch, and I said, you know, I'm going to get my dad's old tractor out of the shed, and I'm going to see if I can fix it, because I, like my dad, the older that I get, I'm becoming more like him. I'm finding myself, my mannerisms, my gait is similar to my father, my earthly father. My fact that God's blessed my hands, I can fix stuff. I got that from my father. So I go out to the shed, I pull the tractor out, I flipped it over, and I realized immediately why it was leaking. It needed a new gasket or needed this, so no big deal. So I took it, put the new gasket on, I said, we have fixed it. Plugged it in, and it walked, Barry, about 10 feet, watered the yard, and I was sitting back just having a glass of iced tea going, that is so cool. I really am becoming like my dad. Everybody says, you're just like your dad. You know, when somebody says, yo, you're just like your mother, it doesn't always mean a bad thing. Because there are parts of my dad's character, Norman, that I can look back on and go, man, that's really cool. And what a compliment to tell me that I'm just like my dad. There's also another nature that my dad had. So it's not as positive, I guess, when people say, you're just like your dad. But I recognize in this moment, I was just like my dad in regards. I love taking old things and making them new. I don't know why, but something happened, Barry. It took off about 10 feet. went up and installed and got all bound up and it wouldn't go. And I couldn't figure out for the life of me what the problem was. And that's probably why my dad decided to scrap it and get a new one. So I went, took it apart, and I realized it had this little mechanism that my dad missed somehow. I don't know how he missed it. But I ground them down so it wouldn't get bound up, and it's been working proper ever since, right? There's a couple of things I think about that. You know, first of all, God doesn't make mistakes. God will never put you on the scrap pile. He'll redeem you off the scrap pile. A lot of us that we know have been actually taken off the earthly scrap pile because you've been scrapped in the world's eyes because you were no use anymore to them. You know, God will never do that to you. God loves taking broke down people and redeeming them, restoring them, and bringing them back to an original state of glory one day, not yet. But during the process, you know, sanctification, we would call that, when you give your life to Christ, it's the start. It's not the finish. It's actually the start of the process, sanctification, right? And I think a lot of people leave the cross back at their conversion. But every day we're to pick up that cross and carry and deny ourselves. So the question I had for myself and all of us, when we're going through situations that become uncomfortable, when you're going through situations that you have to step out of your comfort zone, when you're receiving correction or instruction from somebody that's over you, be it a boss, be it a co-worker, leadership position, could even be a pastor, are you responding to that more like your heavenly father, or are you responding more to it like your earthly parents or your earthly nature? And that's the challenge for all of us. By this point, walking with Jesus, well, Barry, we just said 30 years.
Yeah.
Right? We've been walking. We got saved within 60 days of each other, right?
That's where it began.
You can honestly say that at this point, because of your steadfastness, not that you get it right all the time, because I'm with you all the time.
I don't.
You don't. And not that I get it all right all the time, because you're with me all the time and I don't. But would you say, for the most part, we're responding and becoming more like our Father? Are you seeing more of the Father in me? Am I seeing more of the Father in you?
Yeah.
I would say that would be accurate.
Yeah.
So I think the challenge for us today is, and it's easy to... Let me say this. Give me an air quote, Barry. Be Christians when everything's going downhill in the wind. It's just a great day to be alive. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Too blessed to be stressed, brother. Ain't no high like the Most High. Oh, amen and amen. Amen. Blessed and highly favored. But what happens when the wind is coming in your face?
Mm-hmm.
When there are contrary winds. You know, you think about when Jesus came walking on the water. He walked to the disciples when they were facing contrary winds. Winds that were blowing against them. So the question and the challenge is to continue to be more like Jesus when the winds are blowing against you and not at your back. And that comes in all kinds of different forms, Barry. Becoming mess ups. We've messed up a lot. But the thing about messing up, is when you mess up, you don't just run and hide.
Right.
That's not the way your father would do it.
Right.
When things got tough, you double down. You double down and you get busy, right?
Yep.
You get with some brothers and sisters. You confess your sins to one another. You read the word. You respond to the word like Jesus responded to the word. And I think too many times, man, if we're honest, everything's going great. And with the first little road obstacle, you default to your natural self and not to your spiritual self. You know, we've been given two natures, right? We have a sinful nature that we have to die to every day. Galatians 2:20, we live the crucified life. We have to die to ourselves every day and say yes to Jesus every day. You know, saying yes to Jesus is not a one-time thing. Becoming
right.
saved and born again and repenting of your sins is the first thing to do. Then it's a life of saying no to self and yes to Jesus. And that is not an easy thing to do. Jesus didn't say that picking up your cross and carrying it every day and responding the way that he would respond, the way that Father would respond, would be easy.
Right.
He said it would be worth it.
Right.
And it would be for your benefit. But the scripture I have today, Barry, and then I'll grab the phone, you flip it around. And I think it's sorely lacking sometimes in church, is understanding. You know, you're understanding what's happening, understanding the season in your life, understanding the situation that you're facing. It could be something bad with your family. It could be something with your job. It could, but having that wisdom and understanding on how to approach that, perceive things like your heavenly Father and not default to your natural way of doing things.
Right.
So my prayer for our church and the friends that I know and that I love, and I pray that your prayer would be the same for me, that we would understand. And incidentally, while we're praying, Sarah Carroll, everybody loves Sarah. That ought to be like a saying there, like everybody, you know, everybody loves Raymond, everybody loves Sarah. Keep her in your prayers, because this woman, we've known her for a long, long time, is really in a battle. But she, years ago, she decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. And truth be told, in seeing, walking with her 17 years, I'm seeing more of the Father in her now than I ever have before.
Right.
Because even though we're outwardly, we're wasting away, inwardly, we believe that she's being renewed daily, and it's showing. And the lives that she's touched, and the people that have, God is good. But this is a prayer. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and I think it should be our prayer today. And this is in 15 of chapter 1. Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for Christians everywhere, the love for Christians everywhere, I've never stopped thanking God for you. We have a great congregation, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Don't we?
Oh, yeah.
It's an eclectic group, and we pray for them all the time, constantly. I would say constantly. But here's the thing. Even when we're not praying constantly, I know somebody that is all the time, Jesus, sitting at the right hand of the Father, always praying. You know, we're praying when you come across our remembrance. But I pray that you would, Paul's saying, I pray that you would understand that. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the wonderful future he has promised to those that he called. I want you to realize what a rich and glorious inheritance he has given to his people. I pray that you will begin to understand the incredible greatness of his power for those who believe. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else in this world or in the world to come. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ, and he gave him this authority for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is filled by Christ, who fills everything everywhere with his presence. I guess the gist of it is, Barry, I really pray that in walking with the Lord, being in a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15, 20, or 30, or maybe even more, that you're seeing more of the Father, more of him, and not less.
That's the whole deal right there. To see more. I think if you just take a look back at when you were first saved, you can probably tell you're not the same person. Or at least I hope you're not the same person you were.
Yeah, right.
You know, maybe you are if it's only been a very short time. But
sure.
But if you've been doing it for 5, 10 years, you should be different. People should notice there's something about you're different. You're just different. But I think, like you mentioned earlier, it comes down to growing. You don't want to be the same person, just saved and that's all. Because there's way more to it than just saying, yes, I'm saved. Now the work begins. But you want to grow. You want to change. And the funny thing is, you can go. You can get as much as you want. It's available to everybody to just continue to grow. You know, and when you come to Saturdays and you come to groups, that's the preparation for the trying times. When those strong winds blow in your face again, you have spiritual equity. We talk about that all the time. But if you don't, you're going to resort and you're going to act like the old guy. It's a guarantee. If you're not building your faith for something to stand on when the storms come, you're going to revert back to the old guy. That's just how it works. I personally have been there, done that, and sometimes, if I'm honest, I do the same thing. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle, guys, and it's not going to end until the end. So we're trying to grow more knowledge, more faith. I just lost my train of thought. Well, to keep trudging on, and because you know the storms are coming. We talk about that a lot too. They will come. If you're riding a high now, praise God for it. But you also praise God in the storms, because they're coming. So you might as well be prepared. Amen.
And in storms, we grow.
Right.
You know.
They're not necessarily
and trials,
a bad thing.
We grow.
Right. And they're tough to go through. But when you get on the other side, you're stronger. You really are stronger. You're like, unless you have your head in the sand and you're not paying attention to what God's trying to teach you, which even that's awareness, I guess. There's a reason for everything. So,
and sometimes it can be a bummer because God wants to take these trials and tribulations and struggles and conform you more to the image of the Father. He wants to, you know, his job is not to make you comfortable. His job is to make you holy. I heard Lynn say that the other day, right? And the more that we respond to these storms by facing them the way that God would have you to face them, and not isolate, and not blame everybody, not go into victim mode, you know, take some ownership. You blew it. You wouldn't be the first one. There are 7 billion other people on it. They're blowing it every day.
Right.
But my grace is sufficient. Actually, his strength is perfected in weakness. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yep.
Well, we love you guys.
And come out and see us tomorrow.
And keep Sarah in your prayers. We might even, Barry, as a bonus,
hopefully
get to see Sarah, maybe in person. If not in person, we get to see her on a little video, Skype, or something like that.
Yeah.
So, love you guys.
Have a good weekend.